Welcome to Everyday Happiness, the Pajama Podcasts. I'm your host, Vicky McLeod. I'm very excited about this special edition of the Pajama Podcast that I'm offering you today. It's been a while since I've done a podcast. This is my first podcast of 2016. And I was motivated to do this particular podcast because I really want to introduce you to an amazing woman that fell into my life early this year. I think I met Dani Lee Milne in and around February of this year. I attended a business women's networking group here in my home community of Maple Ridge, BC, Canada. And Dani Lee happened to be the speaker the day that I decided to attend for the first time. As soon as I saw Dani Lee, I knew there was something special about her. I loved the frank way she had of presenting. She shared some concepts from her coaching practice. Dani Lee is a strategic intervention coach trained through part of the Tony Robbins franchise, which she'll talk about in her interview with me today. But she has a very interesting backstory. Hers is a true journey of transformation. Not only did Dani Lee start out battling addiction personally, she went on to have a child and become a single mother. She's raised a wonderful daughter for the past 14 years. She also, as part of her commitment to raising her daughter, ended up in a relatively soul-deadening job where she came to realize that she did not fit, and through a series of changes in her life was able to come through what she calls, she has a really great term for it, and I'm going to let her introduce you to the term, but essentially she went through a form of a breakdown and then emerged from that out the other side, and then took on a new life for herself and for her daughter, and is now committed herself to working with others and helping people have the lives that they want to lead, to transform their own lives. I'm partly really fascinated by this kind of story because it's my belief that there's so much power in people's journeys, and that we often look at people and see only one dimension of who they are without any knowledge of where they've been. And over time, in my experience, I've come to realize that the more that people have overcome their own burdens in their lives, the way that they've been able to take on challenge and master themselves and work with their flaws, the greater the gift is that they have to offer others. This is my belief. And somehow I saw shining in Dani Lee this very beautiful spirit or soul who had obviously traveled a lot of pathways and a lot of roads to get to where she was standing in front of the room presenting to all of us that day. It's an empowering story, it's an inspiring story, and it's a story of truth. And so I am very excited to introduce you to Dani Lee Milne of Look Within to Begin, which is the name of her business, as she tells you the story of her journey. So welcome, Dani Lee. I'm delighted to have you here in my home office. This is the Pajama Podcast. Dani Lee and I are not in pajamas. We're actually recording this on a Friday afternoon, but we're both pretty relaxed and casual, both being self-employed businesswomen. We took this afternoon to spend a little time together. As I mentioned in the introduction, Dani Lee is a coach. I'm going to let her describe the work that she does. But what I really wanted to dive into, Dani Lee, is just the story of transformation that you've had in your life. I find you really inspiring. From the moment that I met you, I thought this woman has something special to give the world. And so just tell me a little bit about kind of your path, how you got started on this transformational journey and where it's led you.
Wow. Well, thank you again for having me. It's quite an honor to be here. Oh, where do I begin? Well, it all began.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time. In a land far, far away. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it started for me, you know, one morning I woke up and I'd been leading a life that I didn't want to lead. I'd been acting out in behaviors I didn't want to act out in. And I got down on my knees and realized that I couldn't change my life. And I reached out to a friend, and the problem I was having was alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to a friend who actually, her and I previously had moved to the Yukon together. On some
that already sounds like just dangerous. Sounds,
I don't know, some adventure of I don't know, finding ourselves or I don't know, something bizarre. It was a very interesting experience, but I reached out to her because she had she'd gone to AA and she'd had a couple years sober, but she was in Prince George and I was in the Lower Mainland, so I told her that maybe I think she better take me to some of her meetings.
Wow. And so that's a really big step. So just, you know, I know that you're aware, but I don't know if our listeners are aware, I too have been on the recovery journey, and I know how hard it can be, that moment of reaching out to another person and saying out loud, I think I need help.
Yeah. Well, that moment of clarity was so big for me because, like, I can just remember, I don't know if anyone can relate, just being in the shower and I still get emotional about it, like not being able to wash away the self-loathing, just from doing things that I couldn't believe I was doing and against everything that I believed. And so, yeah, when I realized at that moment that I couldn't do it, coming from a place where learning that I figured that I should be able to figure it all out on my own, that I shouldn't have to require help from everybody because, you know, I'm smart and intelligent. And I shouldn't have to need anybody.
Mm-hmm. And we're conditioned to believe that, right? Yeah. That we're not succeeding in life if we have to ask for help. So makes it much harder, I think, for people who are dealing with addiction.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, reaching out to her. But I think I found safety because she was so far away. Mm-hmm. And so I went up to her place. I went to see her in Prince George. I went up there on the pretense of working, actually, because I was in sales at the time. So I was going to go up there and work. And she told me afterwards that when she got off the phone with me, she actually said to her dad, she says, "Oh, my God, Danny Lee's coming to town. She says she wants to get sober, but what am I supposed to do?" And she said, her dad just said, offer her recovery, offer her help, right?
Yeah. Somebody's so she reaching. Had her own support network that she needed to lean into, too, to support you, which I think is also a big part of how this can all really work, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I went up there, and she took me to my first meeting, and it was really frightening and interesting and scary, but I was so ready. I was so done. I was so just ready for a change in my life that I hadn't been able to figure out on my own. And I came back home to the Lower Mainland and just kind of jumped into Alcoholics Anonymous with both feet and really embraced the program and changed my life and learned the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then I actually went on to finding a closer spiritual connection with the science of mind and went to the Church of Spiritual Living. And actually, I was a year away from becoming a minister.
Really? Oh, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, I was through third year practitioner training. I had finished that. We had just started ministerial training when I got pregnant with my little girl and made a decision at that time that I wanted to devote my time to my daughter.
So just give me a little bit of a timeline. So how many years ago did you then sober up to the moment?
Oh my gosh, 20 years ago. 20 so it'll years be... ago. It'll be June 16th, 1996. Okay, so June 16th will be 20 years. And and a year later, I found the Science of Mind. And then 14 years ago, I had my little girl.
Wow.
So
a real gift of your recovery.
Oh, gosh, the biggest gift ever.
Yeah.
So, I was five years sober when I had my little girl. And I mean, I'd gone back to school. I was working in mental health and addictions. And then I'd met a nice young man and we were going to have a baby together. And sometimes life doesn't work out the way you want to, even when you think you're following a spiritual path, right? So,
I think is a really important observation. Yeah. You know, there's a way we think that the spiritual path is not bumpy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, now that I'm doing this, I'm not drinking. It's like when you come into recovery and it's like, oh, I'm not drinking anymore. The alcohol was the problem. The alcohol's gone. Everything is going to be beautiful now.
Right.
And no, life is life. And, you know, we make choices and situations happen, and they're not always beautiful, but that's when we grow, and that's when we learn, and that's when we transform into who we're supposed to be here for. Because life, to me now, I understand, is about evolution, evolving into who we're really meant to be, right? And, yeah, so I had my little girl, and then went to work, and I left her father and became a single mom, and I went to work with the federal government and corrections, and
so this is a part of your story I do find really amazing, because to know you today, it seems to me so, in a way, hard for me to wrap my head around you working in the field of corrections, but tell us about that, because it was part of your transformational journey.
I can't believe it either, but what happened was I was, they were starting a new female corrections, and so how they put it out there was this, casework, new female corrections, casework, one-on-one, helping women with the issues of why they're there, which was my niche.
Like, so it almost sounds like all along you've had this sort of calling to work with, to help, like the ministerial calling, working in counseling, all of those things that sort of drawn you.
Yeah, even in college, when I got out of high school, I wanted to be a psychiatrist. Yeah. Then so I lowered it to this, lowered it. Changed it to a psychologist, and then I became a bartender.
Well, there you go. Which we know is psychology, active psychology, right?
And it's the bartending path that kind of led me down the destructive road. But yeah, so when I started at Corrections, it was on this pretense I was going to be helping people and working in that whole mental health kind of addiction type field. And but it wasn't that at all. It was still corrections, and it wasn't the right fit for me. It wasn't right for my soul. And I ended up...
Now, you've also talked about knowing that. You knew in your orientation. Is that...
they have a 12-week training program, boot camp, what have you, for anybody that works in the federal corrections. And I remember being there and going, I don't fit here. This isn't right for me. Like, I shouldn't be here. But I was a single mom, and I had a little girl, and it was pension, and it was union, and it was... It was, you know, benefits, and it was all the things that I'm supposed to do, because it's not supposed to be about me anymore. It's supposed to be about my daughter. That's what society teaches us. And, you know, it's not about me anymore. My children, my child has to come first.
Yeah. Right? And the security.
And the security.
You were being offered
in
that role. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's what I kept thinking about, and, you know, kept putting myself on the back, on the back, on the back. And within 3 years, I ended up just a basket case, and I now call it my nervous breakthrough.
Because, I just love that phrase. Yeah. It's just such a beautiful reframing of what can occur when someone goes through that kind of crisis.
Because at the time, you just feel like you're losing it. Like, your whole world is just... dissolving around you, and you have no control, and it's just, it's chaos. And it's like, I can remember the conversations I'm trying to have with these people that are now in control of my financial destiny for the short term anyways, and with disability and all of that, and you know, when they told me that they weren't, you know, I was, because the doctor told me I was medically permanently unfit to work in corrections, because the psychiatrist for Health Canada stated that I was like a square peg trying to fit in a round hole, and that I would never fit in, just because of who I was and my soul, my purpose and all of that. And I agreed with him, but I thought that meant that corrections would have to find me an occupation somewhere else. And because he said I was medically unfit to work in corrections anywhere, they did not have that responsibility to accommodate me. But I had disability that I was able to apply for. But I remember saying to them, like, how am I supposed to provide for my daughter? How am I supposed to take care of her? That was my soul concern. I just remember feeling like my world was crumbling around me, and you know, eventually everything worked out, but the people involved in the disability and all that are not there to make your life easier. They're there to follow their policies and procedures, and they certainly don't make it easy, as I've seen with many people I've helped through this process since. And and then their mandate is to get you back to work, so they will say or do whatever it takes to try to get you to return to work, even if it's an unhealthy work, even if you're not ready. And so there were many conversations I had with the disability lady that made me feel worse and worse and worse, and living in absolute fear that I was going to be cut off of my financial support at any moment without notice. She made sure I knew that. And then my psychiatrist told me I was bipolar. I was borderline personality. I had major anger issues. And she actually, after about a year or two of putting me on all these myriad of medications, I was on, I don't know how many medications, because I had a lower back injuries as well. So I was on pain medications, mental health medication. I remember the first time she put me on lithium, and I started getting like this twitching in my hands. And I went to her and I said, I'm getting this twitching. And she says, well, it's not from the medication. And I said, but that's the only thing that's changed. So what else would it be? Well, it's not the lithium. It must be you. And I said, well, I think it's the lithium. So I'd like to try something else because I don't like this twitching. I can't like use my hands. And that's the mentality of the, and another medication she put me on, the side effect was cognitive impairment. And she said, I went to her and I said, I can't think, like I can't form. I'm even having trouble finding the word "the" in the middle of a sentence. Like I feel like I have dementia. She says, well, you're not working, so you don't need to think. So when you go back to work, maybe we'll change it. And I'm like, well, how can I go back to work if I can't think? So the mentality, the whole medical profession just keeps you sick. And so I was just getting sicker and sicker and sicker instead of better and better. And so it was 2007 when I went off work, and about 2011 and I always believed in health and feeding your body and smoothies and shakes and exercise, and it was just in such contrast to all these medications I was on, and so I was
like
gifted.
A real dissonance. I
was in turmoil.
Yeah.
And you know, I had this little girl, and I'm trying to teach her to eat right and take care of herself, and I'm on all these medications, and I'm popping these pills, and I'm on pharmaceutical medications, and I'm on over-the-counter pain meds because the pharmaceuticals aren't enough, and get all the, I'm on medications for the side effects of the medications.
Right.
And then I'm going in, I'm on the list for surgery for my lower back. They're going to fuse my lower back, which scared the bejesus out of me because I didn't want to go into back surgery with this little girl. I was like, oh my God, what if something happened? So the universe gifted me with a free trainer for 3 months. I didn't even remember entering the contest, and I get this call that I have this free trainer.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, with Backnow BC, and I got 3 months with this trainer who trained me for 3 months. I was there 2 or 3 days a week, and I lost a whole bunch of weight, got really fit, didn't need the back surgery because I was able to manage it without pain.
And then like this sort of miraculous intervention.
Yeah,
that
miraculous. Yeah. What a miracle. What a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
And then I decided to start to wean myself off the medications. And I did, I've came across a book called The Road Back, which really teaches you and how safely and slowly to do this. And in the meantime, my psychiatrist had fired me because I was too angry. And I was just angry at her. So I weaned myself off these medications, and it took about 2 years. And then it took about another year for the side effects to wear off. And I can remember, I guess it was about probably about 2 years ago. It was either last January, like it was 2 or 3 years ago anyways. My timelines are all off. But I can remember the moment when I'd been off medication for about a year or so. And I can remember the moment in AA, they have the how it works. And we read it before every meeting. And there's a part of it that says, there are those two. Sorry.
All right. Yeah.
Who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. But they do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. And my whole life in recovery, I had resonated with that. I had identified with being someone with an mental and emotional disorder. And I can remember the moment when I heard that and I no longer identified.
Yes. So you knew that part of your life had been healed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just went, wow, like I don't feel sick anymore. And that started me on a journey to, you know, feeling ready to go back to work, feeling ready to do something with my life, to do more, right? Because I'd been off work for a long time. And in the meantime, you know, I had been drawn towards multi-level marketing companies because disability doesn't pay a lot. I'm very blessed and extremely blessed and lucky for the disability I do have. It's substantially more than many other people's disability, and it's permanent. Like, I could have it till I die. Like, it's permanent long-term disability. I'm so grateful and blessed for that. And the other thing that's really ironic is that, you know, when I had my baby girl, is I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And yet, you know, I chose to be a single mom when I left her dad, and the universe gifted me with becoming a single mom when she was 6 years old. You know, I was able to stay home and raise her till now.
And this is something you and I have talked about, is that we get these gifts. They don't always come in a packaging that we expect.
Yes.
You know, it's almost that, in a way, it's that be careful what you wish for, but to also be trusting I often put it that the universe is, life is rigged in your favor.
Yes.
And even when something's happening that appears in its packaging to be very negative or unhelpful, it is actually part of getting you where you need to be. So you've gone through, you know, recovery from alcoholism starting 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You've gone through the single parenthood, through the really being on a path that you felt was very destructive through your, you know, knowing you were the round pig in the square hole.
Yeah.
And then the subsequent kind of mental illness that went with that, as you call it, your nervous breakthrough.
Yeah.
And then that brought you to this sort of new place in your life where, you know, and I feel really honored to have met you at the stage I did, because it's sort of, to hear your backstory to me is just so, first of all, I'm really honored that you're willing to share it, but also to see that we never know when we look at a person what the backstory is, what it's taken. And we often look at someone and go, wow, like I look at you and go, wow, like she's got something special. She's got this gift. She's really dynamic, you know, and we want to emulate that person, but we don't know the whole story of what it took for you to get to where you are today.
Yeah.
So tell us about getting here to this place where you're now this very powerful strategic intervention coach. Is that the right terminology?
Yes.
Yeah. For what you do now.
Well, so thank you very much for that. Powerful. Yes. I remember an affirmation that I used to do many, many years ago from Susan Jeffers from Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Jeffers, yeah.
I am powerful and I am loved.
You are.
Finally. Yeah. It comes eventually. Just don't ever give up or quit, right?
Yeah.
So what brought me here? Yeah. So like I said, I did, you know, dabble in a few multi-level marketing companies. Really attracted to the connection and the entrepreneurial aspect of that, thinking that, but part of it was not believing I had really anything to offer to, because I'd been out of the workforce for so long and my skills, and I didn't really have much belief or confidence in myself in the workforce area. And so I thought that was my way, you know, that I could get into, you know, getting off disability and building a career for myself. But I was never really successful in it for many different reasons, which would be a whole nother podcast. But, you know, I went through a few, and then the last one I was introduced to, I had quite a bit of success. But then my issues arose out of it. Self-doubt and envy and jealousy and fear and all kinds of stuff came out. And I went into this, I call it my doing depression summer. Where I went into this bout of depression, and just kind of really isolated and went into this dark hole of self-doubt and everything. But I was the universe led me to Abraham Hicks, and I started watching Abraham Hicks videos on YouTube, and then also Tony Robbins, but not specifically Tony. I was introduced to Robbins Medanis Training, which is Tony Robbins and Chloe Medanis' coaching company, where they train people to be life coaches and strategic intervention. And it's Chloe and Tony's compilation of what they do together. Mm-hmm. They joined forces, I think, about 10 or 15 years ago in doing this. But they would have all these videos of Tony doing his breakthrough work at his at his events, and then they would narrate them. And I was just fascinated with these videos, and just it was amazing to me how they would just, he was able to just hone in onto these people's problems or issues or concerns, and just the growth that would happen, and just and how I would resonate with every single one of them, and I'd be sobbing through every single one, and decide I really wanted and then they would do the marketing coaching videos, and I really wanted to become a coach.
So, it almost seems that, you were being led along that path all the way. Like, it's almost like a theme that's run through your life.
Through my life, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny you say that, because when I told people, once I decided to enroll in the program, and I told people, I'm going to training to be a life coach, anybody that knew me said, it's about time.
Yeah. So they already saw that in you. And that's very often the way it happens, right? Other people see it in us, or they start calling it forth, I imagine you're probably the kind of person that your friends would call up when they need advice, when they need that person to look at things, through a more clear lens, when they're looking for clarity and insight. Yeah. And so it's kind of always being called forth from us, but it often takes us a while to see it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to find the right path to do that, right? And I enrolled in the program, and part of the program, because it's affiliated with Tony's, you got a half price ticket to one of his events. So last minute in October, I decided to go to his event in Los Angeles all by myself, hopped on a plane and went down there and roomed with some strangers who became friends. And again, my life was transformed. Just the the breakthroughs and stuff, but just the power of what can happen when people come together with a common goal or interest or desire, and also the understanding that, we're really all the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have the same fears, the same doubts, the same concerns, and it doesn't matter, young or old, whether we're successful or not, rich or not, we still have the same underlying things. And it was just a beautiful experience. So I enrolled in his entire master university and went to another one of his programs, and I'm going to another one in July. And as a result, though, I've grown probably more in the last 6 months than I have in the last 6 years, just exponentially. But
it's almost like the readiness occurred.
Yeah.
Everything's led you to this time, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. I'm ready, and it is time. It's I was mentioning earlier, it's not Freedom 55, it's Freedom 50-ish. it's time to be free from the things that have allowed me to keep me down and stuck, right?
And yet that too is part of your journey, and that's something that I know I look for myself. I always believe as a coach, it's important to be coached. I've always had lots of supports in my life and gone through, most of my last 10 years of my professional life, having a coach as a support person, in a support person role in my life. And I always really appreciate the coach that has had their own journey.
Absolutely.
Because I believe it's very difficult to support someone if you haven't really been there yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, the journey that you describe is one that is common to a lot of people. It's just not one that people talk about a lot. We don't hear this story from people a lot. And a big piece of transformation is that willingness to, as I call it, sit in the fire, to actually be in your own, in a sense, in your own destruction, in the way that if we think of metamorphosis, like the caterpillar and the butterfly, the caterpillar has to completely dissolve and disappear in order. And I'm sure that that's a very painful process for the caterpillar, as it has been for us, to kind of go through the transformational journey. So now you're poised to take a further training in July. I know that you're already in an active practice.
Yeah.
So there's two more things I want to talk about with you, but for sure what I want to get is, please tell me how people can get a hold of you if they're interested in finding out more about you or your work. What's the best way to do that?
Lots of ways to get a hold of me. You can call me on my phone at 604-308-8460. You can email me at lookwithintobegin@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook at lookwithintobegin, or Facebook/lookwithintobegin.
I love the name, by the way, Look Within to Begin.
Thank you.
I think it's a great name for your work.
Yeah, it's all, as we're talking about how we're led and things always come into play, I've always had emails that had Look Within in them. Even prior to any of this, Look Within, One Look Within, there were always something to do with that. And so when it came to figuring out a name for my coaching, it was like, well, Look Within. And actually, I was just looking for a domain name, because I have to get a domain name.
Mm-hmm.
And Look Within was gone. So I was like, oh, what is it? Well, we all start from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So what about Look Within to Begin? And it kind of had a good flow to it.
Yeah, so, to know that inner work is you know, the critical part of the journey, right? It just it sort of says it all. And I'll just remind our listeners that Dani Lee is located in the Lower Mainland of British Columbia in Canada. Do you do Skype as well?
Yes.
So people are international, so not to be shy.
Yes.
If you're listening from anywhere in the world, you can access Dani Lee via Skype as
and
well.
And I think it's One Look Within on Skype.
Okay, yeah, good. And so just the other thing just to touch on, we're just about out of time, but Dani Lee and I actually met through something called Babes in Business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see if I can get the acronym right. You always ask it every meeting. So Babes in Business is a group for business women. It's this branch of it is located in Maple Ridge, British Columbia, where we live. And it meets on Tuesday morning, every second Tuesday morning. Bold, authentic business women.
With exceptional standards.
With exceptional standards. I'm going to get that. I love the acronym.
Audacious is good, too.
Audacious is good. Yeah. That's good for us, for sure. And I just really want to encourage anybody that is in the local area here who is interested in business women in joining the group. Dani Lee's an ambassador for that group. And they're really amazing, wonderful, conscious group of business women about doing business really from a place of integrity and heart. And that's also, there's a Kelowna branch, and hopefully more branches will be starting worldwide. The vision is that this becomes a worldwide movement for women in intentional business. So anything you want to say to wrap up, I think?
Oh, I just want to say thank you very much for having me. This has been incredible. I'm really excited to see where my coaching business is going and helping people go through whatever they need to transform through, right?
Yeah, they're looking for a really solid guidance and support.
One of the things, from confusion to clarity.
Oh, beautiful, yes. Great tagline, from confusion. I was going to say Confucius. From confusion to clarity, that's beautiful. So with that, I'll say thank you, Dani Lee, and to all of you. As always, I wish you everyday happiness. May your transformational journey be filled with supportive guidance and love.